Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Giant Take Podcast. 49ers 30, New York Giants 12. If I cough during the episode, I have a little cough going right now. And just like the Giants coughed up this victory. So let's talk about this game a little bit. Alex has already given me a face to start this one off, and I'm going to throw it to him right here and early, actually. My name is Josh. I'm joined by my friend and my co-host, Alex. Why are you giving me a face when I say the Giants coughed up this victory, Alex?
I don't know. That was just a weird phrase. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I wasn't expecting it, so I guess that was the reason for the face. But yeah, a tough one here tonight, or now the next day when we're recording this at this point at 12:30 at night, or whatever you when morning. No, 12:30 is still night anyway. Who cares? What was I going to say? So what I was going to say is that this was a rough one for sure. A lot of mistakes that led into it. A lot of painful penalties, whether they were justified or not, that were really tough. And then the offensive line in particular, just unable to get going, unable to protect Daniel Jones, unable to really get anything going in the run game. And then just, I think, another thing that, you know, kind of has to be mentioned is just some lackluster play calling, especially on offense, but even on defense from Wink, just some bad situational play calling, especially on some of those third downs, third down and longs, where they were probably a little bit more aggressive than they needed to be. And then obviously part of it falls on the players who are just not tackling and stuff like that. But overall, the Giants did not, you know, it was a close game up until the, 10-minute mark of the fourth quarter. So first three quarters were relatively close. And, you know, I guess from that standpoint, you look at it as a positive, but obviously, the final scoreline is not something that you're happy with. But overall, probably just about what I expected to happen tonight. And, you know, it is what it is. And now we got to move on to Seattle. But 49ers, they're a great team. And right now, the Giants just aren't in a groove on offense at all. And even on defense, they are struggling quite a bit.
Alex, the reason I said that in the intro, and it's honestly because, you know, I am optimistic after this win, but it does come with a grain of salt because at the other side of the things, I am annoyed. And as you can probably tell from how I'm talking right now, I just have that feeling of absolute, like, discomfort. I don't like how the Giants kept me in this game for so long. I don't like how they made me feel cautiously optimistic. You know, in the beginning of the game, in that first quarter, they were hanging in there and they had a good offensive drive. And I texted Alex and I think I texted my father and I was like, you know, the Giants actually this season to start a game had a good offensive drive. Like, this is crazy. I might cry. This is something we've never seen before so far this year. So that was like weird. Jamie Gillen had a good punt from like inside the 10-yard line, inside the end zone. I was, again, like, this is weird. Like what is going on right now? I was kind of confused. Again, very, excitingly confused in that way. And the team just hung in there. I felt it to be a very weird game, Alex, because I think we all thought it was going one way, and that was a 49ers blowout. So when that just didn't happen from the get-go and not until the fourth quarter, it was just a weird feeling like, so we have a chance, you're saying, you know, type of thing. And then it's 20-12 for so long, I felt like. I felt like there were so many, opportunities for the Giants to continue to claw back in this game to where even they had a drive on offense when it was 20-8 and they were a touchdown and a 2-point conversion away from tying this ball game, and they don't
20-12 I mean, I think
20-12
right? eight point game,
touchdown, 2-point conversion, 20-12 The Giants can tie it up after a long, more than 5-minute drive. It was like 11 plays for that field goal for the 49ers. And what did they do? It was kind of the Giants of old that we did not see last season a lot, where they don't go down until they score a touchdown or get some points on the board. It's three plays and then a punt and fourth down. And it's just unfortunate to break down how that went in the third quarter. It was a Daniel Jones pass to Wandale Robinson for 2 yards, a false start, like Alex said, a lot of penalties in this game on Bellinger, and then another throw to Wandale Robinson for 4 yards. And we'll talk about Robinson and how the Giants were on him, or like, I guess, had a lot of opportunities for him in this game. And then what happens? Daniel Jones, 39, incomplete to Darius Slayton. We punt the ball. Alex has had his mic unmuted for the longest time. He is waiting to budge in here, but held his ground and did not interrupt. Alex, I appreciate it. What's going on?
Well, you were kind of going through the points, and I kind of wanted to, you know, further emphasize it. What I'd say is, I think there was three like turning points here in this game. The first one, I think, was after that that touchdown, right? The first touchdown in the game for the Giants, where it made it 17-12, and then the Giants, what was it at that point? 17-12, and then they went for that 2-point conversion. They did not get the 2-point conversion. I think that was a turning point for the Giants. That was an opportunity where they, you know, really could have gotten a grip in the game. Obviously, there was that defensive drive where they were on. The second one is that defensive drive where they just kept giving up third and long after third and long after third and long. So I think that was a really tough part. And then I think the third and final one, I think you kind of, like I've been doing, you could put this into 3 points. The drive, like you mentioned, Josh actually mentioned this before I'm even saying this now, but 20-12, it's an 8-point game. You can go down the field, get a touchdown and 2-point conversion, tie the game up. You know, you just went through play by play what happened there, so I don't need to repeat that. But I think those are like the three key points there at which the game could have turned in the Giants' favor, and it just didn't.
And it was just, again, Alex, it's like I said, I'm annoyed. Like, I'm not, you know, I know it's like I'm not upset. I'm just disappointed, or I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, is what people say. And it's kind of like that, where I'm not mad at the team, but I'm just annoyed because it's like, I'm not like, oh my God, like we should have won this game. Like, what the hell? Like, come on, man. No, it's not that. It's just like, I feel like the team had it, right? They did have it. It was in their hand. Like, they could have capitalized on this game. We could have beat the best team in the NFC. I believe it. Alex believes it. Most of the people in the United States and the world believe that the 49ers are the best team in the NFC. We could have beat them. And we didn't take that extra step. We didn't go up that other level and get to that higher ground to step on them and step over them and get into the end zone for a touchdown and 2-point conversion. It just seemed like we weren't there. And I don't know if that's because we're missing Andrew Thomas and Daniel Jones isn't getting time because of that, and we're missing Saquon Barkley in the backfield, and that's affecting the team. I know that had a lot to do with the lack of offensive performance from this team today. I understand that. And maybe it's because the injuries throughout the game, which we'll get to later, was wearing us down because there was a few, or the penalties. But the thing is, when you have a chance to beat a team like that, or at least tie a game against a team like that, you got to do better than running a play for 2 yards, getting a false start, and to what it seemed like on that drive, just kind of giving up. I feel like in the third quarter, the Giants, maybe because they didn't want to think about it that way, like this is the game in the balance right here, even though it was just the end of the third quarter, But to me as a fan, I was like, this is it right here. It's either they notch it up or they get a field goal and even make it closer, or it's over. And they punted, and I knew it was over right then and there. So I feel like they had to hold that drive to a little bit more high of a standard, and Kafka should have called something, some plays, to kind of go a little crazy. I know the tweet circling around right now as we're recording close to 1 a.m. that Kafka and Dable did not call big plays, did not call deep plays this game compared to what we saw against the Cardinals. And then Dable responded, oh, we called a little. Yeah, we called some in there, and that's great. But when we're not seeing them, when it actually matters, it doesn't matter. So when we have a drive, when it's 20-12 and we could tie the game, that's when you do the deep play to Darius Slayton or Wandell Robinson or Jalin Hyatt, a 50-yard deep ball, and we get down to the opposite side of the field. But you didn't do that, and we did drop-offs and dump backs. And dump-offs is what I meant to say. Sorry. That's where you have your creativity. And I know Kafka has that from the Chiefs. There's somewhere in the playbook that there's some creative deep plays in there. Why not pull that out when you want to tie the best team in the NFC? That's what I don't understand.
I think from their perspective, you have to look at it. This offensive line was patched up like crazy. You have a second year offensive lineman who barely even played last year, to be completely honest, at his natural guard position, was playing left tackle. You had Shane Lemieux, who hasn't played in 3 years. You had John Michael Schmitz, who is a third game of his NFL career. He's a rookie. Who was playing right guard? Marcus McKeithen, making his second ever NFL appearance, had a torn ACL in his rookie season, so this is kind of like his real rookie season. And then Evan Neal, who at this point doesn't have a whole lot of excuses, but has not been very good for the Giants. So you look at that offensive line, and you saw Nick Bosa and Armstead and all those guys rushing right at you. And I do understand why the game plan was more quick passing. And in the preview episode for this game, I was even saying that that would be the key. If you can successfully get the ball in Wandell Robinson's hands or Darren Waller's hands or Darius Slayton's hands, whoever it may be, 5 yards, 10 yards down the field, and let them make a play with the ball in their hands. And I think, to be completely honest, they didn't really do that. At certain points, Jones did not put them in the position to do that, and the defense was kind of swarmed around them. But there were opportunities where you felt like, okay, here's Wandell in a bit of space. Granted, Wandell just came back from an ACL injury, so you have to give him a little bit of time. But guys like Paris Campbell and Darius Slayton, when they get the ball in space, they just weren't really able to make the most of it, even though they didn't get it much in space, to be completely fair to them as well. So I get what you're saying, but I also think from that perspective, it's tough to dial up some of those deep plays when your offensive line could barely hold up for Darius Slayton to get a 10-yard curl route. So it's tough either way. I think, if they set up a whole bunch of deep shots and Daniel Jones just got sacked on every play, we'd be furious too. So I think he had to have a fine balance, Dable and Kafka, but it just at this point, the talent on the field was not good enough for the Giants compared to that star-studded defense.
Well, listen, Alex, you talked about the offensive game plan coming into this game, get it out quickly. I mean, it worked. Guess how many sacks the 49ers had? Just as many as the Giants did.
Two, I think. One, two.
That's how many the Giants had. It was split both sides 2-2. So let's give, a round of applause as well to this play call going in for the offense. Get it out quickly. Now, mind you, they put 12 points on the board against an unbelievable 49ers defense. I understand that. But to the point of we want to get it out quickly so Daniel Jones doesn't get himself on the ground, it works somewhat. There was only two sacks in the game. So, credit to them. But now we have to turn that get the ball out quick, not get sacked success to while doing that, let's get more points on the board. And unfortunately, 12 against top teams that have the best offenses in the league, that's not going to do you that with Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, and we can go down the line, George Kittle.
it's tough when you don't have a run game threat too, right? Obviously, no Saquon Barkley, and then
Breed,
you know,
did
you're
fine in that replacement position. I have no.
I'm not saying he did bad. I'm just saying you don't have the threat that Saquon Barkley possesses. When you see Saquon Barkley in the backfield, it makes defenses think about it. And when Matt Breida's in the backfield, no disrespect to him, he had a pretty good game, probably one of the best players on the field today on the offensive side of the ball. It's just not the same. He's not as physically imposing. He's not as, he's just not as dynamic as Saquon Barkley. And I'm sure he knows that, right? And there's not many Saquon Barkley type players on this planet. So it's tough, when you have a banged up offensive line, inexperienced offensive line at that. And then you're trying to do the short passing game, but everybody knows you're trying to do the short passing game because you don't really have a run threat, can't throw the ball deep. It's tough, especially when those pass rushers on the 49ers can just pin their ears back and rush at Daniel Jones, and that's pretty much what just happened. And then Daniel Jones, he has to dump it off quickly if he wants to survive back there in the pocket. So overall, it's rough, but we've talked a lot about the offense here. I guess we should transition to the defense, right, Josh? So you want to, I'll let you finish up with any other thoughts you got about the offense, but then we could switch over to the defense.
I guess let's do the stats with the positional group. So I'll just
say. Yeah, sounds good.
Daniel Jones, 22 for 32, 137 yards, and no interception, no touchdowns and an interception. I turned the game off when that pick happened.
Three of the four Daniel Jones interceptions this year have been those tip picks that they should have been caught. So,
and mind you, you know what it reminded me of? It's when the bride at her wedding throws the flowers. What is it called? The bouquet? Is that what they're called? You know what I'm talking about? When
the bouquet of flowers
entered to all the bridesmaids.
Okay, I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what the pick was. It was literally one 49er tipping it, and then four 49ers like, okay, which one of us is going to get it? That's literally what I saw immediately what I thought of. Because, like, how hilarious is that? Like, come on, like, out of any...
The ball sits in the air forever when that happens, too. It's like, floating.
It tips up, it's just, like, in the air. Like, it's like, and you hear, like, the slow-mo music with the running. You know, it's like, bum, 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 bum.
It's like one of the, it's, you know what it's like for anybody who plays Madden, when there's about to be an interception, it like slows down, like everything
goes
in slow motion.
They have to turn the camera too, so they fully turn the camera.
Yeah, that's realistic, man. It's probably the most realistic thing about the game.
Madden, welcome to the Madden podcast here. But it's just like those type of picks so far this year. I mean, that wasn't a blame on the receiver, right? That was just a bad throw by Daniel Jones, if I'm not mistaken. Again, I haven't rewatched the pick yet, but it was either that or it was a good play by the.
I think it went right off of Darren Waller's hands, but
it was hit by one of the 49ers.
I think
whatever
so too.
It was, the way that shit went up to like 20 feet into the air to where four 49er defenders were waiting behind. I turned it off right when I saw.
But you know what's funny? Earlier in the game, we had a similar situation where we got a tip. Adoree Jackson tipped it into the air on that Deebo Samuel catch, and it's sitting in the air forever, and you're thinking, oh, this is our moment.
Oh my God,
it's our tip pick. And
I mean,
then
that
whoever it was rocks it.
That field goal, that 15-play, 64-yard, 6-minute drive by the 49ers, there was three plays that could have been Giants interceptions, and they weren't. Two were by Deontay Banks, I believe. One was by Adoree Jackson, and I could go back and watch and point them out. Don't worry, to save everyone's time. Whoa, my voice just flew. To save everyone's time, I won't be doing that right now. But there were three plays I remember from that first drive that could have easily been interceptions and could have been turning points early in the game. But they weren't. Matt Breida, 4 carries, 17 yards, had a touchdown in this one. Daniel Jones. Yeah, Alex, I mean, was it Eric Armstead that we talked about before the show? He said in his postgame, he was surprised that the Giants didn't do more plays where Daniel Jones rolled out of the pocket and was used as a runner in the open field. Only two rushes for 5 yards. So, yeah.
It's also tough, though, when you're doing that, like, read option type stuff.
Well,
and there's no Saquon.
Where he stayed more in the pocket and passing plays because he just released it quickly. It was just a bad game plan to do that, too, if you're also doing it during play action or if anything, because you're trying to get the ball out quick, but then you want to hold on to the ball so you can run it. It's just those
thing is usually
what Daniel one Jones go with the other.
Yeah, Daniel Jones's run, most of his running, production this year has been off of play action / read option type things. So it kind of there were there's times where it's like kind of like a direct QB draw or whatever it may be, but it's tough to scheme it up, I guess. I'm looking at it from their perspective. But yeah, I mean, I thought there were certain situations where he was in the pocket where he kind of forced a dump off where it was like, okay, there was some open field there and he could have taken off. But yeah.
And then no wide receiver cracked 40 yards. Darius Slayton topped the wide receivers with 3 catches for 32 yards. Gary Brightwell, 2 catches, 30 yards. Paris Campbell, 6 catches, 24 yards. Wanda Robinson for it. The ball was spread around. I'll just say that. Now, did it really lead to much? No. Did the Giants score a touchdown in this game?
They did. Matt Breida run.
Yes. Matt Breida's run. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. They got that in the third. I just see 6 on the score for each quarter. I forgot they went for 2 there. And
they went for 2 and they didn't get it. Daniel Jones got like slaughtered in the backfield. Yeah.
Compared to Brock Purdy, went 25 for 37, 310 yards, 2 touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey, 18 touches, 85 yards, 1 touchdown. And then Elijah Mitchell, like Rob Guerrero, who came on our podcast to preview, said that McCaffrey played 100% of snaps last week. That was not intentional by Kyle Shanahan. He had to give Mitchell some more touches. He does that. 11 carries, 42 yards for Mitchell. This will transition us into the defense. Another thing we talked about with Rob Guerrero, one thing he said, if Kyle Shanahan finds something in your system that you do not have or that is a problem or that he knows is something they can thrive on, that being the 49ers, they will use it and they will take the hell out of it. They will take advantage of that.
Use it and abuse it. There you go. I was really hoping you were going to say use it and abuse it, but
I'm glad you cut in and said it. That's a great term for it. And I think we all know who I'm talking about. Kipo Samuel. 6 catches for 129 yards and 1 touchdown. I will not say anything if that man goes on Twitter after this game and tweets out, I own the New York Giants. I can't say anything. He did. That's exactly what he did. He played his game and he played it perfectly. And every time he got open when he was asked, like I said, that's only 6 catches that he had to make. A yak king. A yards after catch machine is exactly what he is. And then, well, McCaffrey, we know, 5 catches, 34 yards, the passing and running back. And then George Kittle now deciding to become primetime 2019 George Kittle again. I don't understand that. Went for 7 for 90, excuse me. And we see the old first down, drops the finger in the water or the coffee or the tea, whatever he does. I was like, bro, what are you doing? I haven't seen you do that since 2020 when you were like actually relevant. So like, I don't know what you're doing, respectfully. Like, sorry, George Kittle. I just don't like, why does he have to pop off right back like old when he hasn't been doing anything for the past couple of years in the NFL? Just annoying. Like even Al Michaels hit it on the nose when he was like, there's George Kittle catching that one. You know, used to be known as one of the top tier tight ends in the league. Like, yeah, because he's not anymore. He dropped off. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Josh has that George Kittle. Josh has that George Kittle hate. I'm a fan.
Funny enough, after we had that debate 3 years ago on this podcast.
I'll tell you a funny story. This guy insisted that Kittle was better than Kelsey, like probably like in the beginning of our podcast. I still remember that. Like insisted, like would defend it with his life type situation. I think we all know that Kelsey's better now, but
yeah, he's better winning in life, or
better all around. He's doing better all around.
Yeah, that guy's having a good time right now. Anyway, let's talk about Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, what I'd say from looking at the defense perspective, Deebo Samuel, what'd you say, 126 yards, George Kittle, 100 or 90 yards, excuse me. So what are we talking?
129 yards, actually, but you're pretty close.
All right, so we're talking about 215 yards, thereabouts, on the for the two of them. I guess 100 of those, 150 of those, maybe even, after the catch, they were untackleable, or more like it, the Giants cannot tackle for their lives. It doesn't matter who it was. It would be Micah McFadden. It would be Okereke. It would be Banks. It would be McKinney. It would be Adoree Jackson. Nobody could tackle. Do we need tackling camp? Like, I don't understand it. Like, these guys, yes, they're super athletes, but people are able to tackle them. Like, Deebo Samuel doesn't do this every week. Like, yes, he makes big plays, but he does not consistently break tackles like this. You would think he is the strongest man alive with how hard it was to tackle him. And granted, he's got great lower body strength. We know how shifty he is, what an elite wide receiver he is, but it was just a clinic on how to not tackle properly by the Giants, how to not wrap up properly, whether it was on him, Kittle, McCaffrey, and that was really the main problem on defense, and that's really what led to them being successful on offense. It was the tackling. I think it's as simple as that. You mentioned a couple of the opportunities for turnovers. There was that, but to be honest, if they were able to wrap up and tackle better, you know, within maybe a couple yards of the catch, the Giants probably would have won this game. That's how extreme the tackling, effect had on the team, and that was the main problem. Just a couple of guys I wanted to highlight, though, before I kind of wrap up on the defense. I thought Micah McFadden had a great game, had multiple tackles for loss. He really showed out today. He looked pretty good last game, too, against Arizona in the second half. So shout out to him. And then I thought Deontay Banks had a pretty solid game today, too, especially when he was lined up against Deebo Samuel. I got to check the advanced statistics when they come out tomorrow or today when we're listening to or recording this now that it's 1 a.m. or whatever it is. But I got to check that out to see what the actual catches were against Deontay Banks. Like, how did Deebo do, like, when he was lined up against Banks? Because I think that would be an interesting stat. But I'm sure all those people have gone to bed like normal people, not us insane people who are up here recording a podcast at 1 a.m. So, overall, those are the two guys who I want to shout out on the defense. And the tackling, it just needs to get better.
Yeah, so, I mean, Leonard Williams with a half sack. Kayvon with the sack, Davidson credited with the other half of that sack. On the 49ers, obviously Nick Bosa with a tackle for loss and a sack, Javon Hargrave with the tackle, and a sack. And then Oren Burks had two tackles for loss as well. And then I want to talk about, I think we're good with offense defense. We broke that down. The final things I want to just do here is injuries, and then I kind of want to get our final takeaways from this game and kind of looking ahead a little bit to see kind of what's next here for the Giants. Now we sit at 1-2, 1-1 away. Luckily, we're going to head back home, but it's a Monday Night Football game, so it's going to be a little bit weird. We're going to do all of that in just a minute after the break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's go to the injuries now. So we don't have a ton of news. Again, it's like 1 a.m. after this Thursday Night Football game. But we do have some updates on the injuries here. We have Evan Neal got injured in this game, says he's okay. Adoree Jackson got injured in this game, but he came back in later. Deontay Banks didn't seem too overly concerned in the locker room after the game about his little nick. Raheem Nunez-Roches, last time I checked, I did not see any updates on Twitter or anywhere about an update to his injury. So maybe by the time this, you know, you're listening or watching this, there is. I don't know. And then DJ Davidson, another person that I don't have an update on, had a shoulder injury. Okay, Alex, let's wrap this up. So again, Giants lose 30-12. We kind of talked about our thoughts on the game. I think overall, we both kind of agree that we were a little happier with how the Giants ended up playing. Down Andrew Thomas, down Saquon Barkley. They somewhat fought through this game, although there was lackluster in play and in play calling. But it ended up being the result we all expected. a 30-12 win for the 49ers. So let's look ahead. I did not think, and I know you did not think, that at this point in the season, or I mean, I don't want to speak for you, but I want to say we both did not believe the Giants were going to be 1-2 at this point in the season, right?
I thought they would be 2-1 or 1-2. I would have expected them to win against the Cardinals. I think Cowboys, I think, was always kind of a 50-50 game. I did not expect them to lose 40-0, though. And then this game, I, you know, kind of always thought was probably going to be a tough one for us. So I'd say optimistically, I was hoping 2-1, but I could have seen 1-2 as well. So it's not like it's not doomsday, like some Giants.
They're not 0-3.
I mean, no.
If it was 0-3, we'd be having a completely different conversation right now. But I do want to give a little bit of a
Monday Night Football is huge, though. Huge, huge game.
So let's look ahead now. We have the Seattle Seahawks coming to MetLife on Monday night. So the Giants now, like I said, another primetime game, which, again, I don't know why the NFL did this, but whatever. So now we got Thursday. So we're playing on Thursday. Guys can go home. I'm sure the Giants are going to give them the weekend. So they're going to get a few days to rest up, chillax, you know, figure out what went wrong, what can we improve on. Where they're going to get back in that building, I'm sure, on Monday. And we're going to figure it all out. From that Monday practice, they're going to have a week, a full week, until Monday Night Football. That's a long time from Thursday to Monday to prep for a football game. So they should know everything there is to know about the Seattle Seahawks. What do you need to know as a listener if you haven't been keeping up? So the Seahawks lost their first game, 30-13 against the LA Rams, which, by the way, don't think like the LA Rams or anything, because the LA Rams have solidified themselves so far in week three of the season because they had that game. In the second week, they just played the 49ers, and they looked pretty good against them, even though they lost. It came down to the end. And the Seahawks beat the Lions in overtime in week two, 37-31 against, I just said the Lions already, and the Lions beat the Chiefs week one. So the Seahawks are a team that looks pretty good this year. We expected that. They looked good last year. They're going to play the Panthers at 4 o'clock this Sunday. This is a team the Giants got to take care of. They have to. You go to 1-3, your next game's against the Dolphins. They're away in Miami for that game. The following week, you have one last day to practice. It's a Sunday game at 1. I'm saying they're going into that team as definite underdogs, and it's a small chance. If they can't beat the 49ers, they can't beat the Cowboys. I do not think they could beat the Dolphins. So this game against the Seahawks is crucial to get to an even scoreline of 500 before you go into Miami. You agree?
Yeah, I think you need to at least take one of those two games. But yeah, the Seahawks game, you're at home. It's Monday Night Football. The Seahawks roster is not as good as their, you know, they've been performing so far. But to be fair, the Giants were like that last year. So you can't take those teams not seriously just because you don't think their roster is particularly good or whatever it may be. And then the Dolphins, I don't think they're on the level of a team like the Cowboys or the 49ers, obviously. But I think, you know, offensively, I think they could blow you out of the water, especially with Tyreek Hill. And if Jalen Waddle, I'd have to imagine, is back from his concussion by then. So it's going to be really tough to play against those guys. So defensively, they're not the powerhouse that the Cowboys or 49ers are, but they can sure blow you away on offense. So, yeah, Seahawks, it's a must-win game. It's an important week ahead, a week and a half ahead here for Brian Daboll and the coaching staff and all the players to get ready for that one.
All right, so the Giant Take Pod is on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all of those social media platforms. Definitely check us out there. I'm on Twitter at JoshSola29, Alex on Twitter at ANorian23. And subscribe wherever you're listening out the podcast, Spotify. This will be out on Friday. That's weird, man. So how many podcasts? We had 3 podcasts in 1 week. That's kind of crazy.
Did we? What did we have?
Yeah, we had the recap on Monday, okay, from the Cardinals game. Then we had, okay, the preview with Rob. That was on Wednesday. And now we have this episode on Friday. So you had 3 TG. You had a lot of us this week. You had 3 Giant Takes. So don't worry.
It's been a treat.
A little bit of a break. You've gotten a treat. You've gotten an episode every other day during this weekday, Monday, Wednesday, yeah, Friday.
You've got a full week off from us, I think. Yeah. So we'll probably record Thursday for, and we'll, no, Friday.
Yeah, you have a week. Yeah, you got a week.
Yeah, a full week.
So yeah, you'll probably be hearing from us next Friday with our preview Giants versus Seahawks, you know, pending. If there's any news during this little break or stuff we have to talk about, obviously that's not going to affect our picks or anything. Those are already in. Those are locked in that we did in the preview. And right? Yeah, we're ahead of the game. We did that in the preview.
We're good.
We're chilling. We're fine. And so, yeah, we'll see you in a little bit. We'll see you in about a week. Unless anything crazy happens, we'll hop on the mic for an emergency. Saquon Barkley ankle sprain is not what we expected. He's coming back on Monday. Yay, even though that is what people expect because it's week to week.
Yeah.
All right, Alex, take us out. It's 1:11 right now.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode of the Giant Take Podcast. Hang in there. I know it's not a victory or loss Monday, but at least we've got the weekend to look forward to. So we'll see you all next week.